Welcome back to episode 317. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm just fine, Tim. I'm in Mexico, doing some traveling, and in case there's any technical problems, don't worry, we can get them fixed quickly.
So you're just a tourist, not an expat.
Well, I'm somewhere in between. The Mexican economy is not strong, so a lot of tourists end up becoming expats because it's just so cheap to live here at the moment that they don't go home. They talk about the drug cartels, but that really isn't the dangerous crime that's going on. I mean, most of the violence is from timeshare salesmen. I mean, they're everywhere, so if you come down here, just watch your wallet.
So, well, this week we had some political drama. I'm told it's unprecedented. Might be because it's meaningful or just because everyone's stupid now, but nevertheless, it happened. The U.S. House of Representatives removed McCarthy from the speakership in a historic vote. Last weekend, Congress narrowly passed it had something to do with Congress passing a continuing resolution funding bill for another 45 days, I think. I think it was detected that McCarthy made a secret deal to keep Ukraine funding going outside this deal, which caught the attention of Jeff Gates, who leads this Pack of Eight, I guess you could say, of MAGA extremists, I guess Hillary Clinton would call them. And he organized a coalition. I think it was eight, there are eight votes, and the entire Democrat, almost the entire Democratic Party, I guess contingent in the House voted to remove him. That constituted a majority. I think, yeah, 208. I guess 208 Democratic votes and eight Republican votes. So it's 216 to 210. If I do my math, there are nine missing. So nine must have abstained. Nevertheless, that's a quorum. There is enough to remove him, and he it's the. I think it's the first time that removing a speaker has ever succeeded like this. It's interesting because McCarthy himself, and he's from California, of course, and of course, the Republican Party isn't very strong in California.
Yeah, we are
So
powerful.
you would think that McCarthy would be the perfect man for the job, if kind of to play the DC game. But I think maybe he got caught up in the DC game because this backroom deal that he apparently made with the Biden administration to keep the money's biggest fund in Ukraine is growing discontent within the Republican base. It's never been very popular to extend this war in Ukraine that the United States fomented, has been fomenting since 2014, really, and it really came to a head in 2022. And so there's this, with the economy kind of cratering in the United States, the tab going up, reports of more corruption in Ukraine. I think Mrs. Zelensky was caught spending $1.1 million on jewelry in New York this past week, which
Yeah.
didn't get much press, but it happened. And I think this was real news because the sales clerk was fired for manifesting the sales receipt. So
No, it was real.
it
Yeah,
was real.
they're
And
real.
so you have that. So in many ways, you can see the McCarthy speakership as a casualty of the Ukraine war because it's the politics there. I think there's some broader issues here. One thing is the overall finances of the United States government, the America in general, and the American Empire, and perhaps it factors into and part of the reason why there's a war raging in Ukraine is sort of this attempt to maintain a unipolar world under the American global homo empire, and sort of these emerging powers, the BRICS countries, China, Russia, and associated powers who seem to be under Iran. So all these countries are under sanctions. So it's the overreaching of the U.S. government and the sanctions department, Treasury Department, which has led to this increasing de-dollarization of the global economy, which of course will ultimately exacerbate the finances of the U.S. government because the U.S. government relies on revolving credit and endless inflationary debt cycles to fund their deficits. Of course, part of the huge deficit is this funding the forever avoidable wars abroad to spread mayhem to prevent any consolidation or coalescence of a power in competition with this Atlanticist globalist Jewish empire, however you want to characterize it. So it's all this is kind of related, right? The sort of the beltway inside politics, the infighting, It was odd because, again, it required all the Democrats to conspire with eight Republicans to remove McCarthy. And what was interesting is that the Democrats didn't use that leverage to get more out of McCarthy. He just voted to remove him. Now, I don't know if that's, 4D chess or just stupidity. If you look at some of the Democratic Party leadership now, they're not the sharpest tools in the box, so to speak. Hakeem Jeffries, AOC, it's become more wacko. The Republican Party is kind of useless. It's kind of lost, has no real ideology other than be dutiful losers. So that's where we are with the politics. But it's almost a sign that the system's starting to crack up because under the old game, the old rules, a deal would have been struck and this would have been avoided, and it wasn't. So it appears that the ground is shifting beneath, the politicians' feet. But as is usually the case, is they're the last ones to notice it.
Right, and the most vivid impression that I had of the whole process is just how stupid the political class at its serf level, in other words, at the level of the people that are just put in place to be placeholders, the illusion of democracy.
Yeah, the managerial class, you could call them.
Yeah, I mean they're just selected for docility and stupidity, basically, but certainly docility, and obedience. Like my congressperson, the emails that he sent out and his public comments, could literally just, I mean, you could just parse them together out of like 5 minutes of CNN, political commentary. I mean, they're just so pablum. There's absolutely nothing original. There's no insights into anything. He just is 100% the party line, and he was during the lockdowns and the mandates, So, he's a Latino, but there isn't any connection into the Latino sort of racial interests and passions. He's just a uniparty member. The thing with McCarthy, McCarthy was rightly, pointed out by Gates and the other kind of magus extremists, that kicked him out, as being a uniparty guy, right? I mean, he certainly was in that instance in what they were talking about. He went to the Democrats in order to cut the deal to keep the uniparty Ukrainian war well funded, right? He didn't even bother to take it to the floor. He was able to, just cut the side deal to get this language into the appropriations, process. And so, of course, he's just a uniparty member. He got called on and he got kicked out. But the Democrats, they're the reason why they, went against the uniparty person is just because they're able then to take make the case that, well, the Republicans are in disarray. That was the word that was used like 100 times, the party is in disarray. And I mean, they're this for, on their kind of the overt level, this works well for them coming up to the presidential campaign because they can, make this case that, look, they're in disarray and so they can't be trusted. But,
Well, let me ask you a question.
yeah.
A disarray and anarchy. Does a well-oiled, well-functioning democratic political machine result in like in a balanced budget and responsible financing in Washington, D.C.? What's in disarray? I mean, what are they fighting over? Continuing resolution to keep the government funding with funny money, with a $33 trillion national debt, and there's apparently no political will on Capitol Hill to press the brakes on spending, or to, not to sp spending. Spending is a reflection of like irrational, crazy public policy.
Right, of course. And I mean, I have just zip respect for the Republicans. There's so much rhinoism. And then beyond that, they're just controlled at the high level. I mean, someone like McCarthy, it cannot be real. That is just, and to me, it's impossible to imagine that he reflects, his own unique sort of madness, or ambitions. I think he's just a controlled operative, and does what he's told by the oligarchs. And I think that obviously the Democrats, at the Hillary Clinton level, giving instructions to their minions and the Congress, the oligarchs have their way of manipulating these people. And because the quality of intelligence in the American people is in steep decline, they don't need to produce, sophisticated puppets anymore. They can bring out people as mindless as McCarthy or as, AOC, people like this. And I think we'll see over the next, like 20 years, if the country hangs together that long, that the congressional process will become more and more like a roller derby match, just fist fights on the floor, food fights. I mean, it's just a distraction so
No,
that
idiocracy, is what we're saying.
idiocracy. I mean, that's really what it's just so stupid at this point. And there's so, I mean, think about, well, just like the Ukrainian war is a good example. Think about the level of sort of skeptical analysis that is taking place representing the American people in terms of, well, we're spending $150 billion. Where is the analysis from the Congress? Where is even the critics of the war coming forward and making a few questions? Gates actually has done that, which is
Yeah,
terrific, and
he gave that impromptu
argued.
press conference, yeah, where he
Yeah,
actually laid it
but
out what the problem was,
in
yeah.
most cases it's just the mindless drones. And so, that's just where we're at. We have the political class in a large to a large degree is now just moronic.
Speaking of that, you mentioned Hillary Clinton, and she has, I think she was in CNN.
Yeah.
She gave an interview. Yeah, last on CNN, and she said of, I think it was Christiane Amanpour, a veteran journalist, married what to like State Department guy, right?
Yeah. Shocking how that works, yeah.
she said, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, referring to the MAGA extremist. Now,
Yeah.
I don't know who's the extremist here when she's the one talking about deprogramming people. Now, what's extreme? I mean, MAGA follows. They left Hillary Clinton. They have these terms. They think somehow substitute for an argument, and maybe they're right from mass psychological, political, psychological perspective. But it's so transparently stupid. MAGA Republicans extremists. Okay, what's extreme? By an enforced border, man, controlled or immigration, where the laws are followed. Something approaching, fiscal responsibility, not starting wars in the in Central Europe. What exactly is extreme? But she's the one advocating, deprogramming, and I guess implying that people should be arrested for their simply political opinions. It just shows you, yeah, again, the sort of the caliber, not just of the people that were given to manage our political affairs, but just the sort of public discourse. This is, again, there's no pushback by her interlocutor on this. It's like this.
No, well, it's fa I was amazed at that in the sense that it's so logical, so consistent. I mean, they've been trying this, well, for over 100 years. Certainly, the Hungarian Soviet, was attempting to deprogram the students, right, with their education, their degenerate pedagogy, and then of course, look at the authoritarian personality. I mean, that is a kind of propaganda to deprogram. And then they talk about the deprogramming. They talk about in the chapter 23, they talk about how they need to organize the psychological sciences to overcome resistance using the propaganda of Eros. Hillary didn't talk about, we have to deprogram them using pornography, but that's certainly kind of in the in sort of the subtext of what she's saying.
Well, when she becomes an advocate of LGBTQ and abortion, all that's part of that Eros, yeah.
Yeah,
Weaponized
exactly.
Eros, yeah.
So it's like this is just this long-standing kind of lust to get at the minds of the Gentiles, and just force them into a kind of pornographic slavery, a kind of just destroy the race through all the different memes that they have, well, techniques that they have in place, like integration, the vaccines, wrecking the minds. I mean, they're just the constant attack. So Hillary's comment was really shocking on one level because it's, you know, this kind of Manchurian candidate, MK Ultra, you know, sort of approach to political opposition that you would think would be frowned upon in democracy.
You'd think, yes.
But at this point, she can actually make these comments, and her base, no, they don't even, they probably think, yeah, I would agree with Hillary, you know, it's a, that's a good idea. We should, I mean, I just hope that this doesn't involve surgery. Her ideas, because that would be unpleasant.
Or maybe a cage tied to your face with a rat in it or something, right?
Yeah, but it's getting close. I mean, yeah. You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is all with the, this is the council culture that Jeff Greenblatt talks about, the ADL. Right? He doesn't believe in cancel culture. He believes in council culture. So he prefers a therapeutic approach as opposed to just, you know, acting like a checkist and having, putting a couple bullets in the back of your head and throwing you in a ditch as yet right now, you know,
yeah.
After all, you know, revolution, it's not a clean thing. It's a murderous process at the end of the day. And they talk at language of rights and justice as they put a bullet in your head. It's typical. Did you see this is in the United States, but in Switzerland, and I guess it's the same forces, of course, French, Swiss, far right, they call them far right, essayist Alain de Sorel, known as Alain Sorel, was charged, he was convicted for calling a fat lesbian a fat lesbian.
Right.
He says, LGBTQ groups hailed the 60-day jail sentence in Switzerland that was given to a writer and commentator for deriding a journalist as a fat lesbian and other critical remarks. So this is, you know, thought crime, speech crime. Lausanne court sentenced French-Swiss polemicist. He is a polemicist, so there you go. Alain Bonnet de Sorel, who goes by Alain Sorel, for the crimes of defamation, discrimination, and incitement to hatred on Monday. Now, she is a lesbian, and she is heavily, you know, overweight. So that would make her a fat lesbian. Now, point is, they talk about lookism, fat shaming, you know, fat pride, and LGBTQ. So what's wrong with being fat? What's wrong with being a lesbian? So what's wrong with being a fat lesbian if all that is okay? Where is the defamation if there's nothing wrong with being fat, nothing wrong with being a lesbian? But then again, all these people
are standards of logic. I was reading that article, and I just had this thought. I was going, gee, I remember back when this movement got started, and the key word was tolerance.
We have to be
tolerant. I mean, where did that go?
Well, it's that old, you know, it's repressive tolerance, right?
Yeah.
That's whose idea was that?
Yeah.
Marcuse, right?
Yeah, Frankfurt School and you know, the Judeo-Masonic intellectuals at the beginning of the 19th century that came up with all this stuff. But it's been, you know, when you see that isn't that, Tim, just a kind of a deprogramming? In other words, aren't they sort of following Hillary's instructions there?
Yes.
They're taking him and they go, well, we're going to deprogram you using the penal system, you know, but it's really a way to get at the mind of someone who sees reality in their own, you know, within what it is, you know, a fat lesbian is. You know,
well, I just Googled her.
Fat lesbian. You
know, I Googled her and she looks like a overweight lesbian. So you can, fat lesbian.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So it's just, you know, they are like the. I would say, wouldn't you, that the deprogramming process is going to get more intense here going forward. They'll. I think you're going to see they're going to be, if they can, you know, weaken the Europeans just a little bit more with vaccines or something, then they can really start to. The whole final solution process of deprogramming and just making sure that there is no thought that is not approved. It'll be really the world that Huxley talked about and envisioned. You know, where drugs are used to control any resistance to, you know, the social control.
Yeah, if drugs don't work, they'll arrest you.
Then they'll kill you. Yeah.
They claim that the conviction of Alain Sorrel is a strong signal that intolerance of homosexuals will not be tolerated.
Oh, wait. What? I thought tolerance was.
Wait a second. No,
Didn't
here's the point
remember.
here. I know that's a kind of a parlor trick.
Yeah.
It just what it goes to show is that there's no such thing as a tolerant society. It means that every society has its own idea of what is accepted, what's not accepted, of deviances. Deviance is a constant. It's a question of whose values are being imposed. So let's not talk about universal tolerance. They talk about that when they're tearing down society. When they tear down those institutions or take them over, they're much more repressive. And again, it goes to what Herbert Marcuse with repressive tolerance. You don't afford your opposition the same rights you claim for yourself. And so they, by very nature, they practice the politics of bad faith, which is why they're you try to corner them with their hypocrisy or illogic. It really doesn't matter because what you're seeing here is just pure power politics.
Yeah, and that's so well said. I mean, people need to understand this is supersession. All of the bamboozling, flowery language about tolerance is out the window when it comes to their having political power. And they also need to see it in the context of this long-standing project, which will end with genocide. I mean, all of the workers' paradise memes that we've been given over the last 150 years. They always have the flowery language at the beginning, and they always have the bloody spear at the end. We're in the same process now. There's just absolutely no difference between this and, the Hungarian Soviet or the Bolshevik slaughtering of the royal family, or the World War I marching the Europeans into one another's automatic weapon fire. We're being depopulated. That is kind of what the honest fact is.
Well, you can't embarrass a Czechist for his hypocrisy.
No,
So when they show up at the door in their black leather jerkins and their pistols and their caps, that cap that they'd wear, and to arrest you for counter-revolutionary activity or sabotage for a Twitter post or an article or something you said, this is what happened. It's just an exercise of raw power. And so don't be naive here. And that has to be considered. Back to we're talking about the poor state of public discourse and the rhetoric of our politicians. One thing that strikes me is when I read the statements of Vladimir Putin, if the translations are to be trusted, how insightful and how clear they are compared to the utterances of our octogenarian political class. He was he gave a speech a couple of days ago regarding the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, and he called Klaus Schwab a global terrorist, the same and also George Soros. And he says, according to Putin, globalists, including Schwab and his close advisors, are legitimate military targets because they have been actively attempting to seize power illegally via a globalist coup d'état. The moment of truth has come, according to Putin, and the global leap plan for our new world order are receding in front of our eyes with a new multipolar world, which traditional cultures retain their heritage with their own borders, is rising like a phoenix. He taught in the speech he addressed the future is multipolar, which is actually more normal. I mean, prior to the 20th century. Even in the first half of the 20th century, the world was multipolar. That's why you had a world wars to make it bipolar, then eventually unipolar, so you could get to the situation where we are today. It appears to be breaking apart because China and Russia, for all their faults, represent civilizational opposition to the West. And so, and you see that in these speeches, speeches that the Chinese leader may give or Putin may give. Although they're supposedly dictators and authoritarian regimes, what they say about Western culture is indisputably true about its decadence, its weakness. Again, I'm not saying these people are good men or virtuous men, but their political statements have substance and they're meaningful. And this does go to our first topic, which was, the casualty of McCarthy's speakership, because around the Ukraine war, why this war is raging. is because of this. It's this conflict that apparently is exists between the West, which seeks a, you know, the liberal order, unipolar, totalitarian, dominant, and not coping with or not thinking it has to negotiate with some of these other powers. Ironically enough, you know, like China is a creation of the West anyway. At least it's to the fact that it's an industrial giant now. It might have come back to bite them. And the difference here, like in this 20th century, those conflicts arose from the fact that both Japan and Germany had presented competing systems and potential, power blocks competing with, at the time, was the Atlanticist powers, you know, the Anglo-American Zio Empire. At that point, the Zio Empire might have been a junior partner. It was rapidly becoming the major partner in that, a dominant partner. We saw that after the Second World War. But in order for Germany and Japan really to achieve autarky and independence, they had to expand, which arguably was destabilizing. But again, going back to the politics of the Second World War, that didn't necessarily mean you had to have a general war. That was fomented, I think, in my opinion, largely by the Western powers, and Germany and Japan played their part in that, because that conflict was necessary to create the bipolar world. But in this case, you have Russia and China that are so vast with resources and landmass that they can actually achieve a large degree of autarky, economic development without expanding, therefore not being destabilizing. But the Western world, again, the ground shifting beneath everyone's feet. We saw that in Washington politics. Is all this is changing, is that dominance can no longer be maintained. In fact, anything, they're accelerating the decline, because in trying to maintain their dominance, they do things like impose sanctions, which creates the de-dollarization. They foment this war, which actually shows NATO to being a paper tiger. So their control is cracking up as they try to maintain it. And this is where we're getting this conflict. The conflict is not inevitable. It's not unavoidable. It's created by a lust for power, a libido dominandi of the degenerate, psychopathic, satanic Jewish West maintaining global dominance.
Right. I mean, certainly the easiest way to understand the current world is that the uniparty, the oligarchic uniparty, saw the, you know, technical advancement of India, Russia, China as inevitable, and their moment of creating world domination was waning. And so this led to the Ukrainian situation, which was an attempt to bleed Russia. The sanctions, you know, were again just to weaken this country, try to break it up before it could merge with China and India and form something that was actually an opposition, serious opposition to uniparty Judeo-Masonic control. And you know, I hope that is a legitimate dialectic. Mm-hmm. I am worried that there is, you know, kind of organized theatrics here, but one thing for sure is that they are accelerating the end of the Western kind of economic and political influence, you know, dominance. The sanctions all backfired. NATO is draining its all of its resources in the war. It's not going to be able to replace the tanks and the, you know, the missiles and the 155. Munition shells very quickly. It's going to enter into a period here, and has, of real vulnerability. I mean, they would probably lose an actual land war to the Russians at this point. That's how weak the entire European U.S. Military is at this point. And all of these militaries are in steep decline. They're not going to get better. I mean, I've looked at some, you know, future analysis of the U.S. military. I mean, and the only hope is that the transgender becomes an excellent fighting unit, because, I mean, they're just no one's enlisting in the army right now. It's very, very hard to get even recruits. So, I mean, this is just a detail of the overall scheme. But, you know, and then you're also looking at kind of the end of the economic power. You can clearly see, I mean, what the Ukrainian war has really exposed the industrial weakness of the West. I mean, we can't manufacture things at this point. We've lost that capacity to a large extent. And so in an actual munitions non-nuclear war, we're going to come in second place every
Well,
time.
Joe, it's very important that I can get a plastic soap dish at Walmart for only 95 cents as opposed to $1.45.
Thank God for that. Of course, there is the problem of you don't have any jobs for your working
Yeah.
force because of that. And you have a debasement of your currency, so people can't afford houses. But no big deal. I mean, we get the cheap widget at Walmart, so we should be happy about that. So, I mean, it's all, it's all one process, McCarthy being
Well,
removed.
who's genius? Who's a genius who decided to outsource, was it semiconductor production to Taiwan?
Yeah. Well,
Or we get all our
and that,
antibiotics from China?
yeah, the most important speech in the last like year, which caught no attention, was one of the, I think it was a CTO, technical guy at one of the huge munitions factories. I forget which, Grumman's or may have been Lockheed Martin, but anyway, it's so important I forgot it. But he said, he said, in terms of the sanction, he goes, you can forget it. He goes, we cannot actually make the parts that we are on contract to provide for the military without our Chinese components. So in terms of like actual, the sanctions that have been tossed about, like we're going to sanction China, this, that, he goes, just forget it. We can't. It's not possible. He says, I'm not talking about the iPhone or something that, the public likes. He says, I'm just talking about our day-to-day, missiles and things like this, aircraft. He goes, it's all been outsourced. So that just is how the world is at this point. And we can't, we can pretend we can sanctions, but it's just going to backfire if we actually try to execute that. And this is exactly what happened. Think about the oil embargo. That was, that has weakened Germany. I was looking at a chart of industrial production activity in the world, and it had like maybe 30 industrial nations. On top, Russia, they had the greatest gain year to year. On the bottom, Germany, they had the greatest loss. So I think that gives you a pretty good indication about how well the sanctions work to bring Russia to its knees. So I don't think that's circumstance, do you? I mean, it just seems to, it's just a, to me, it's all part of the depopulation, which of the European, which comes from part of that is the deindustrialization. I mean, we're going to be in a situation where the European countries, countries that have large components of Europeans, will have no meaningful industry pretty quick. It's a, Germany is, which was one bastion, is in steep decline. And our political rulers will all hate us, think of like Mayor Breed in San Francisco. I mean, she's sure going to be, champion the resurrection of European, economic power in San Francisco. I mean, she's actually happy that all of the European retail businesses are dead. She said we don't need to worry about that. We have to think about the future. Who's going to be there, to replace them? Well, I mean, I think the Europeans, the European Americans, should kind of maybe pause for a second and think about what all that means, because it's a process that's going everywhere and going on everywhere in our world.
Yeah, it's. I think when the war started in 2022 in February, and the sanctions were imposed, and Russia absorbed that body blow and actually bounced back with growth, was a sign that this was over with. That you couldn't sanction them into compliance. And a good example of that. Well, one thing it was announced that Pornhub had cut Russia off from its service. Oh no! I think it's part of the objective. I think it's what Putin wanted. And then, when McDonald's shut down, and then immediately a Russian, I think, interest bought it up and just started using the stores and producing much better food for Russians.
Yeah, I mean, no,
It's
Russia
like,
is,
oh, okay. It's like,
well, just look at Putin's speech. I mean,
yeah.
that's the healthiest kind of psychological moment in any politician's in a European sort of based country has had in what, like 20 years or something. I mean, the speech was actually wonderful.
Yeah,
Really.
there's some expression of like interest for his people and long-term
Yeah,
return.
yeah. Kind of a European culture that exists in the future and has some meaning at in the present moment. I mean, the speech was the exact opposite of the authoritarian personality. You
Well, oh,
know,
there and therein lies the conflict.
yes.
You know, it's ah, there we go. There, that's the conflict.
Now we understand it.
They
Yeah.
don't want nation states and peoples and these things. And yeah, and if you're of that tribe, you're like 13 million globally, and you enjoy effective control of the West, and you're trying to control the rest of the world using the American Empire. You're in a very vulnerable situation if other areas, other groups, ethnic whites or ethnic Russians, and start to coalesce and form a national identity and have some idea of their own interests. And that's why they're so involved in global homo and atomizing society and pathologizing healthy patriotism, and even something as basic as the relations
Family.
between family between the sexes.
Yeah.
Anything more
Yeah.
corrupting, you destroy relations between the sexes. You upend the political order, and that's what's happened in the West.
Yeah, and this is a good kind of, conversational trajectory, because you can see that really you need to just strip away all of the theatrics and see the big picture, which is just that this small group wants is controlling the West, and it wants to use the West for worldwide domination. And there's just a lot of nonsensical propaganda to keep you from seeing that fact. You know, there's all these, like, cul-de-sacs that you get led into, where you end up, thinking that the deep state is involved, or MAGA Republicans, or like the kind of African American political manipulations, Obama. I mean, all this is nonsense. There's just one group that is running it. It has a very narrow understanding of itself. It has alliances with all sorts of individuals, but that doesn't mean they're going to let the Palestinians have a vote in Israeli elections. I mean, so it's a I mean, it's just the world is very clear. You know what I mean? It's just this, all of the McCarthy, the Ukraine war, all these things, you can just strip them aside, strip aside the propaganda that is confusing people from seeing what they really are. But they're all, aren't they all just leading to one place? When they say uniparty, isn't that just dog whistle for Judeo-Masonic control?
This past week, we've been treated to a number of reports of crimes committed against progressive people, good people, moral people, people who have, all the poor, the oppressed, and colored people in mind. There was one instance where a congressman, Cuellar, was carjacked in Washington, D.C. Apparently, he was unharmed, but two teens, or youths rather, I don't know if they're teens, have they been identified yet, armed, took his car, because he had been an advocate of defunding the police, of gun control, the usual stuff. Bloomberg reports a dozen of lawmakers, Republicans, Democrats alike, live in the apartment and condominium buildings within the block of Monday night's attack. Nate DeQuayre said police recovered the car, but no arrests have been made. Police say they're looking for three male suspects wearing all black. I suspect they are black, but then again,
Right, they are,
they're
and John Stewart would call these individuals children.
children, yes.
I think one of them is 6'6".
Yeah.
Teenage children.
In Washington,
But
D.C., carjackings are up 109%. In
yeah,
Washington, D.C., there's only about a 25% closure rate of D.C. carjacking.
carjacking is like our most growth industry in America. It seems like it's one of the
Well,
few
remember
things.
about 20, maybe it's like 30 years ago, it was a thing. And then a few people got shot, then it stopped for a
Oh yeah, I seem to
while.
remember that.
I remember there was one instance locally where a guy attempted a carjacking. It was an off-duty FBI agent, and he shot the guy dead. And the agent goes, "I don't recommend civilians doing this."
Why
Oh,
not?
nice. It's like, civilians. You're not a
Because,
civilian? Whatever.
well, and of course, I'm sure you're going to mention that this isn't just an isolated incident. There was a, another three incidents that involved kind of the left wing,
Yeah, and last month there was that lady in Minnesota, the Democrat Party official, who, again, she had advocated, what's her name? Some Indian, yeah, Shivanti
Yeah.
Sathanandandandan, whatever
I can't pronounce, but another defund the police, and
Yes, and she was mugged and beat. I mean, she was hurt.
she gets smacked, and then of course the famous Ryan Carson episode,
Oh,
which
yeah, the guy in Brooklyn. Yeah. He was in
yeah, I
Bedford
mean
Stuy
that,
at 4 a.m. in the morning.
yeah, that to me was the most. I mean, I don't mean to speak ill of the event or him, but it's just the most interesting and visually kind of revelatory thing that I've seen on video in years. I mean, did you watch the video of the event?
Yes, he does
Everyone should. I
everything you're
mean, I
not
know
supposed
it's
to do. Everything you're not supposed to do, he does.
right. I mean, first of all, to recommend it is controversial because it's an absolute snuff film. If you see the whole thing, and it's available online. I hate to make a recommendation of people watching that, but in this instance, I'm going to, do it, even though it's a depraved event, because everything that is occurring in America is visible. All of the agendas are in kind of a fruition there. If you watch the event, you have Ryan and his girlfriend sitting, on a bench in Brooklyn, I believe. And a black man walks past them, goes about a half a block down, and starts smashing mopeds. Now, Ryan is an activist, very particular kind of one. I mean, he works with Chuck Schumer, and he is the fruition and completion of the authoritarian personality. He is completely selfless. He has no ethnic, of course, absolutely no ethnic pride or connection. BLM activist. He's so selfless that he wrote a poem called Anxiety. This was a poem. He's a poet. He published poet, and in the poem, he talks about how he's worried that his death might be kind of a distraction and an irritation for other people, and he hopes that that doesn't happen. In other words, there's just no kind of awareness or determination of like existence inside this individual. He's lost all of that. He actually had another encounter, a prior one, with a mugger. And he was able to talk that mugger down, and this was something he was so proud of. So, in other words,
So, yeah.
he had this idea that, black rage is a function of a lack of resources and racism, and therefore, someone with my understanding of the world and expertise can actually diffuse it. The girlfriend who was sitting with him is a satanic a BLM supporter. She has a witch, a foot-long witch tattooed on her arm, and would often be seen with her AC, AB shirt, which is All Cops Are Bastards, right? All Cops Are Bastards. That was her, promoting sweatshirt that she would wear around town and is photographed in. And so when this black guy explodes with rage, Ryan does not attempt to get away from him, right? Because in his delusion, he's thinking that there is a sociological phenomena that his sort of wondrous expertise can address, as it did in a prior, episode.
At 4 a.m.
And
on a street in Brooklyn.
and so the black kid, this 18-year-old kid, he doesn't like him approaching in any way, and he screams at him and says, "What are you looking at?" And so what you had, I mean, it take me a long time to give all my thoughts on this. I don't want to bore people, but I'm just going to point out that the rage that the black kid experienced, right, at this kind of namby-pamby white guy just standing there on the sidewalk and not running away, is not something that would happen in 1950. That rage is not, and it's not mental illness. We're looking at a genre that black on white crime is exploding, right? So you're not, this isn't an isolated, just tragedy that has no meaning. This is a very much a sociological
Yeah, it's not like sociological conditions, the poverty or oppression.
Yeah.
It's political agitation. It's
Yeah,
causing it.
it was political construction. I mean, it's been step by step. They've got the black kid to see himself in a kind of victimization, heroic
Well, apparently he's a
victimization.
good kid. I read his lawyer
Oh, he's a
says he's
very good kid,
from a
right?
good
Except
family.
good family
It's like,
and just exploded with
well,
rage and stabbed him
we're
three
all
times in
capable.
the
See,
heart.
Joe, we're all, my kids, they're all capable of this.
Of course. I mean, this is just human nature, you know, it's just we have to like put more resources in
This
it and
type
then
of
it'll.
impulsive violence, lack of
Yeah.
forethought or lack of long-term thinking, impulse control, it's not something that's uniquely problematic in the black community. We're all guilty of this. It's a human
Yeah,
condition.
that's right. And particularly if you look at like the Hey Jackass Chicago statistics
Yes.
of who's committing the violent crimes, and you wonder, well, yeah, there's still 1% that belongs to the white. So it's we're all just one big violent
Well,
family.
what you're saying is sort of he was a victim of his own ideology. His ideology kept him from literally saving his own life because he had to prove he had to vindicate his ideology by doing everything that he's not supposed to do,
Yeah,
especially when you're on the street at
so
4 a.m. in the morning.
the
First thing
black
is
kid
being on the
that,
street at 4 a.m. in the morning.
yeah, I mean the black kid was manipulated into his rage to an un, to having no reason to check it, that for that moment, you know, there had to have been, you know, what we would call sociological processes in operation inside the 18-year-old, and so he felt justified in inventing his rage, and Ryan thought justified in trying to
Well,
tell the
oddly
kid.
enough, the kid was with what's reported was his girlfriend, the assailant,
Yeah.
who you see in the video gang. She actually apologizes
Yeah, she says she's sorry about
for what
that.
her boyfriend just did.
Very calm.
I mean,
Yeah.
if that's the case, then even like the normal profiling, because usually if you see a couple out on a date, or what do you,
Right. I
I don't
mean,
know, what do
it's
you
the
call it,
whole.
4 a.m. in the morning on the street? New York's a different
Yeah, the
time.
whole
I mean,
thing is very weird. And
yeah.
also, what's strange is that the audio has, I mean, the visual tape has audio to it.
I
You can
always
hear.
wondered about. I always thought true cameras didn't have audio, but I guess I'm wrong. I
Yeah,
don't
I mean,
know.
how did that happen? Was it all just a kind of theatrical production? I don't think so, because the pratfall, the fall that Ryan takes before he's stabbed, is I don't think you could fake that. I mean, he did a legitimate trip over a bench and just face planted. And man, if this is the theater, these guys deserve an Oscar, because I mean, that was really horrifying to watch.
Well, this guy also didn't he also tweet like making fun of Rush Limbaugh died.
Yeah.
So he wasn't a kind-hearted, this is a
Oh,
kind of
no.
mean,
No, of
vindictive
course not.
activist. He Antifa supporter. This guy's
Well, it's
guilty for, by
supersession.
the
I
way, this
mean,
guy is in a way guilty for thousands of deaths because he helped urge on, all the rioting and he himself cheered the black crime wave since
of
2020.
course. I
He just thought it
mean,
was political. Now he's a victim of it.
the
So
black kid who had been manipulated into the violence by a process that Ryan was part of.
He's
He
like
did not understand.
he's like Robespierre going to the guillotine.
Yeah, exactly. So
It's
that's
like,
why the event really needs to be. See, that's what I'm saying, is you have to watch that, because the Ryan then the kid smacks him, and then Ryan tries to put a hand out toward him to keep great distance rather than running, which is what he should do. But
yes.
he says, "I'm on your side, bro."
I
You can
saw
actually
that on.
hear,
Remember,
"I'm on."
in 2020, there was a video of these guys in an apartment in I forget what city it was. It might have been New York, DC. It might have been DC, but there was a Black Lives Matter protest riot on the street, and they're maybe 3 floors up, 2 or 3 floors up, and they're like yelling, they're cheering at the window at them, and then someone throws a brick through their window. We're on your side, man. Man.
Gee, dude.
Hey,
Yeah,
dude.
so
I'm with you, dude.
but you see, there is the future of the European.
Yeah.
You know, he has created or helped create the unchecked rage, which the Judeo-Masonic ruling class is using to batter and intimidate the Europeans. And also, you know, think about all of the, you know, self-esteem, affirmative action, black mayors now in the United States that are being put in place, and to a large extent voted into place by with participation of white voters like Breed in San Francisco, and so this is the idea: I'm on your side, bro. Well, maybe, but maybe not.
Did you see? Is it true that his girlfriend or date wouldn't provide a physical description of the assailant?
I've heard that. I haven't got a citation for it, unfortunately, but it wouldn't surprise me by the calm demeanor that she had, never screamed or tried in any way to restrain the assailant who was stabbing her boyfriend in the heart,
Yeah, she goes
which I
like,
guess
watch
is,
him, watch him,
yeah,
manage him, watch him.
then she said she tells the girlfriend of the assailant to watch him. This is someone, the girlfriend, remember, she's a all cops are bastards, BLM zealot. So it's a confusing situation for her
Well,
if
when she's
she
calling
is.
them bastards, is she a critic of out of wedlock birth?
Yeah, so that she has no tolerance, this should be studied because, if this was just a one in a million one-off, but there were like three other events very similar, and these are just the ones that are reported.
Yeah. Well, did see the one in Baltimore, what was her name? She was the some tech company. Where is that here? Oh, let me find it here. Pava LaPierre. She was the tech executive. She had a company in Baltimore. She's proud that she had started the company in Baltimore, had it located in Baltimore. She lived in the city, of course, and was trying to revitalize the city. She herself, again, was a Black Lives Matter supporter. She gave TED Talks, encouraging economic opportunity, fighting racism. But she apparently, on her way home, was followed by this black guy, a very intimidating looking figure with tattoos on his neck. And from what I gather from the reports is she as she entered her I would gather it was probably an expensive apartment building because she's the CEO of a tech company that is secured. And she got into the vestibule and he signaled her, apparently, that he had forgotten his code or key, whatever they use, passcode. And she let him in. Now, because she's not racist, she couldn't stereotype, meaning she couldn't rely on pattern recognition and memory and these things. And it's because she's progressive, she let him in. And rode an elevator up with him up to the top floor where he proceeded to drag her under the roof, rape her, and kill her.
Yeah, I'm on your side, bro.
Chill,
I'm
chill,
on
bro.
your side. This is Ryan Carson should be on his his grave, on his tombstone.
Yeah, Jason Dean's Billings, he's 32 years old. He's been in prison for 11 years, released early on good behavior. And apparently was on monitored or controlled release, apparently not monitored enough. But but this is a guy, again, I saw a picture of him. He's not someone that looks benign, let's just say that. But she, again, another one where she, again, because of her ideology, literally has no sense of like self-preservation.
But
Like
Tim,
she doesn't want
that's
to
the important.
stereotype.
You're looking there at the important sociologic phenomena, in that Ryan Carson should have seen the screaming, violent behavior of the black youth as reasons to leave, to recognize it as danger. The CEO, the tech CEO, should never have let someone looks like that into, her apartment. Right? This is just common sense. But that's the point. That's been taken away. The kind of the BLM psychological meme is working against just the common sense, which of course then has political ramifications, because if you're going to let that guy into your apartment house, or if you're going to like approach the crazy black kid who's smashing a mopeds, saying, "Hey, I'm on your side, bro." Then you're also going to vote for, Breed for mayor. It's all one kind of confused intellectual construction that is always part of the supersession, right? There, you're going to replace the Europeans with African Americans because, frankly, they're easier to control, right? And for the oligarchs, and you're also going to depopulate the Europeans.
And you're not going to support the policies, the laws, the customs, the values which make
Yeah,
society
racism.
governable, right?
Yeah.
You just say racism this, racism that. you're not dealing with reality, like I said, black crime and impulsiveness and criminal behavior. So day-to-day life becomes impossible. So not, I don't care if you're starting a eco map, this startup company, and providing opportunity, black entrepreneurship in Baltimore. It's not going to address the problem. In fact, you're just gonna end up getting raped and murdered because you're not identifying the problem. You don't have a proper understanding of the problem. You have this
Yeah, the
sort of this,
individual
yeah.
murderees are reflective of the large, kind
Well, it's
of
a little bit more
race.
complicated than the white people bad, black, brown people good. It's a
Yes.
little more complicated than that.
Yeah.
You know,
And
and
when you
you
look
know,
at
so.
these events, hopefully they just will make people want to do more analysis to try to understand how, like the Baltimore CEO and how
Well, people come
Ryan
used to
Carson,
it. People get used to it. There's a report
yeah,
in
how they
Chattanooga.
got to that point where their common
In
sense is gone.
Chattanooga, there was a guy, father of four, nice guy, white, going to a high school reunion. He was shot dead by a 57-year-old career criminal who had been arrested 66 times. 66 times. And the mayor of Chattanooga goes, "Well, this is a one-off event." No, it's not. It's systemic. Black crime is systemic. Much more systemic than racism. I'm sorry, folks. Black crime is systemic, and it's being
Well,
urged on.
just
It's being enabled. It's being
right.
glorified in many ways, like the Bail Project, or calling riots and crime, political events or political protests when they're just riots. They riot when they can. They riot when the power goes out. Right? It's one of these things, and they put a political spin on it to justify the violence. And you can't contain it, then society becomes ungovernable, and the city collapse. That's why all the urban centers are decaying.
Yeah, that's the thing is that obviously they could stop this black crime wave if it'd be trivial to do so. But the reason they don't has nothing to do with the workers' paradise. It has everything to do with the fact that they are promoting it and using it for a purpose. I mean, black
Well.
crime, black violent crime is a part of the project. They want to, it's going to get worse. They're going to expand it, not
Yeah.
decline. It's going to become more just an accepted part of life that they are entitled to occasionally kill whites because of the fact that we're racist. I mean, the world's going to become a Quentin Tarantino movie, and so I mean, you're going to end up with these cities run by black mayors who are controlled, and all of the whatever's left of the police and bureaucracy will be, people of color, and these areas will be hellholes. I mean, they're obviously not going to create like a functioning. I mean, these cities that the new cities that are coming don't have a chance. I mean, they'll have no economy other than athletics and the welfare state, so they can't really exist economically for very long, and. I mean, who would be who really could live inside of these places? It's a sad fact, but when you take out kind of the white political class from areas that the blacks in America then have political power, these areas don't flourish. There's a lot of reasons for that, but this is just a mechanical fact, and we can expect. All of the cities to continue their trajectory into bloody chaos. And so it goes back to the point that at this is the moment where you have to resegregate,
Yeah, because
to the
I mean, a lot of people on the right will look at, these events, whether it's this guy Kruger getting shot dead, who he's the guy who that mocking tweet to Scott Adams about crime and Joe Biden getting elected. Now, I don't necessarily agree that Donald Trump's election will prevent the black crime wave. In fact, it occurred during his presidency. This started. But nevertheless, I understand what's behind it. And he said, within 2 days, the guy was killed in his apartment. Now, the guy himself was a homosexual activist, and who knows what menace he allowed into his apartment. It turns out that suppose he was helping a guy who had a drug problem. It was probably some sort of homosexual thing. He got up being chucked. So he let some stranger into his apartment, like Nancy Pelosi's husband, probably. But anyway, many people look at these events, like the incident in Baltimore with that young tech CEO, or Ryan Carson in New York, or Kruger here. Yeah, I think he was in, was it Chicago? Chicago. Say that th these events will help some of these liberals, you know, some of these activists change their mind on this, but it's not really, that's not the way it works. What happens is actually often it just reinforces it because it just, this is their ideology.
Yeah, I mean, if you were like a legitimate advocate of, you know, kind of African American liberation, to use an expression, what you would do is give a speech detailing how the Judeo-Masonic oligarchs have made the black underclass into violent maniacs. You know, I mean, you'd start with the Great Society program, you'd go into the crack cocaine epidemic, you'd go into like the promotion of rap music, and then the glorification of all this stuff in the media. I mean, that would be the speech that an honest politician would give, you know, is that our race has been targeted for cultural disintegration. And that by that I mean no families and lots of drug use, very little education, and extremely violent. Like the young man, you know, stabbed Brian Carson. Violence is just, they're just hair trigger at this point, you know. So how'd we get here? How did this happen? Because this really wasn't anywhere near this way in 1950. So what exactly happened? A politician should ask the question and then deliver the answer. That would be useful for our culture.
Well, there's no payday if
No,
they
there'd just be a
critique.
bullet in the head because they'd
Yeah,
have to
I
assassinate
mean,
someone like that.
because you want to be a tri you want to be ethnic tribal power broker, and not in the sense you have the interest of your people at heart. I mean, you want to shake down
Yeah, even the
white folk.
blacks couldn't,
You want to
the
shake down
blacks
white
wouldn't.
folk for money.
Yeah, there isn't enough constituency. I mean, what would be the
Yeah.
percentage of blacks that respond? Like
Well,
5%.
that's the thing, is you're dealing with that too. The sort of the dysfunction, the problems within the black community. Again, a little introspection here, but no one wants to do that. The problem is the leftists like Ryan Carson. What they do is, you know, all around them, everywhere they go, they create destruction. But their excuse is our ideology has never really been implemented. It's because we don't have total control. There's opposition,
Yeah, we
so
need
it's all,
more
we need more
resources. Yep.
power. So it's like the communists who claim that communism never failed because it was never tried. So we
It's
just need more power, more
exactly.
revolution. And so, I mean, you could have a mayor, you know, like Giuliani or Bloomberg control crime effectively in New York, save lives and make life livable there, but they don't get votes. They don't get the black vote. So they elect Bill de Blasio or Eric Adams, who are just a disaster for the city, but they like it. And high crime is simply the price they're willing to pay for their ideology or for their tribal, well, for their pride. And these white leftists like Mr. Carson, or they agree with them. They're degenerates themselves. They,
Yeah.
you know, so they don't, you know, they simply don't know. At some point, they're simply victims of their own ideology, victims of their own passion and pride, which means they lead to their own destruction. And that, which you can understand why when people read headlines like this, they say, "Well, good, he got what he deserved." To a certain extent, that's true, because what they're advocating is literally destroying the lives of millions of people, if not tens of millions, if not, you know, hundreds of millions, but billions of people.
Well, Ryan Carson is, I mean,
Yeah.
just poster boy for that. He wrought what he sowed.
I mean, it's like being upset that Trotsky got hit in the head with a, you know, with a pickaxe. Do you really, does that really bother me? That is
Well,
so.
you know, the sad thing at, like about Ryan is that he's so deluded. He's lost really his kind of what I would regard as just his normal humanity, you know,
Well,
that
often with those tweets, when he mocks people dying,
yeah.
someone dies of cancer because you disagree with them politically, it's funny.
Yeah.
Now I say, oh, well, you know, bygones be bygones. I didn't agree with him, but, you know, God have mercy on his soul. Wish him the best. This is, you know, we think of our own. He's the one writing about mortality and death. And then he's mocking other people's deaths. Jeez.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, you know, your point about how they talk about not enough resources. We haven't really tried communism. I mean, this is the 100% mechanical meme that will pop up over and over and over again. That the reason it didn't work is because we weren't really going at it, and we have to redouble our efforts if we're ever going to get anywhere. The workers' paradise is the future, and it always will be. There is no discussion over, well, maybe it means that it's not actually implementable, you know, that the fact that over and over again we try this and it always fails. we give power to a central authority, and then they somehow become corrupt, or the plans fail, and everybody dies. Right? Happens over and over and over again, and you can tell that it isn't the failure, it's the success. This is what the actual intent was, sort of like the Great Society programs, because there's never any discussion about, well, it achieved exactly the opposite of what the intent was. You see, if there isn't even the disclosure and discussion about it, you know that the oligarchs are actually getting what they want. It's the same thing with the Ukrainian war. I mean, there's an example right now. I mean, the sanctions have all backfired. The Ukrainians are being slaughtered in an industrial scale. But there's no discussion about, gee, maybe we made a mistake here. Maybe there has to be a reanalysis of like the premises of the conflict. There isn't any, and there never will be. When they get done harvesting all of the Europeans, they'll just leave, just like they did in Vietnam and Afghanistan, Iraq. They won't ever be, you know, like, gee, we're sorry, we killed the Ukraine. They'll be on to another meme. You know, it'll be, you know, some new disease or something that'll fill the headlines. There'll never be a discussion of this. It's just because they can't, you know, they cannot have a discussion about it because the crimes are too obvious, and you know, they'll just be exposed if they have that discussion.
Yeah, reveal it all, then all of a sudden, whoa, they people really knew what we were doing, and we'd be, all put up against the wall and shot or hung.
Yeah,
You
for
can't let
sure.
it out. It's like this
No.
whole thing, going back to our original topic with the McCarthy and him being unseated from the speakership, somehow it revolves this Ukraine funding thing, which is very interesting because to have this event kind of a, it turns out it looks like Ukraine was the thing that really did it. Because what you really have with Ukraine is this massive money laundering operation,
Yeah.
where Washington is just feeding from the trough on this stuff. Of course, they're suffering the Ukraine over this, and this is threatening to disrupt the entire global order because of what it's doing to de-dollarization and the economic trade and the sanctions and all that. But nevertheless, there seems to be this consistency in Washington, D.C., which somehow thinks this is necessary when there's simply no moral or logical argument for continuing the war. If you look at what's going on there, end the freaking war, but no one can stop because they're all getting rich off it. I just read a report yet yesterday exposing we have Jim Moran is a congressman, Democrat congressman, retired. He's got to be in his mid-70s by now, close to 80, but he's retained as a lobbyist $25,000 a month to lobby for continued funding for Ukraine. Who's paying for that? Well, the who's paying that? It's m money from Congress that was appropriated, going to
Course.
some NGO that circles back to Washington, pays him to lobby for more funding. He doesn't wouldn't care. He's some Irish Democrat, supposedly Irish Catholic Democrat, retired from Congress. He's lobbying for more war. He has no passion for it. But that's how the that's part of the reason why it goes around and around and around because everyone, vast most of Washington is getting rich off it,
Yeah, I mean, I've read definitely. Colonel McGregor has, you know, he talks about this all the time, and you know, he uses like 60-70% of $100 billion doesn't even leave Washington. It doesn't even get out of the city. It all just gets gobbled up, you know, in lobbying and you know, kind of nonsensical, you know, ways of spending the money,
Well, we saw
claiming
that
that's what they.
with what Sam Bankman-Fried, how money was going to the political parties. Most
Yeah.
Democrats, a lot to Republicans too, by the way.
Sure.
So,
And that this, of course, is somehow helping the Ukraine because we're giving Morant $25,000 to lobby for more money so that we can have
And so
more
Zelensky's
lobbying.
wife can spend $1.1 million buying
Right.
jewelry in New York City.
So the thing is ludicrous, and the only thing more ludicrous than the violence is the kind of belief on some of the public that this is a sincere operation, that there is some kind of concern that's, you know, for Ukrainian democracy, that you know, that these people are actually trying
Well, it's
to
obvious. I saw a video. It was Joe Biden sitting in the Oval Office, supposedly discussing Ukrainian strategy, and the guy literally fell asleep while he was talking about it.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not
Yeah. So,
exaggerating.
well, of course. I mean, look, at any level above, like the people who read headlines, there must be an awareness that the war in Ukraine is not a sincere activity. It's just depopulation and money maneuver. That's all that's going on there. I mean, the Ukrainians have no chance. NATO is just getting a chance to get rid of all of its war surplus material and its war surplus Europeans, the Ukrainians. And at some point, when it ends, Russia will have control over the provinces it wants, and there won't be any Ukraine left. The
And by the
area
way,
that
according to Hillary Clinton, you're a MAGA extremist, needs to be deprogrammed if you want that stuff.
of course, yeah, and bear in mind that she couldn't last 5 minutes in any kind of open debate with anyone of normal intelligence who was trying to, pry into the kind of claims and actual realities of the Ukrainian war. It's not defensible in any way, and yet she can take a position like that of such extremism because there won't be any contestation.
No.
The media will not ask any questions, and she can just sit there and deliver propaganda. So, she makes her statement, and hopefully the independent media and now just the more skeptical public can have the right response. And just knowing they're just looking at propaganda to cover up depopulation and financial shenanigans.
Yeah, I made that point with Jonathan Greenblatt whenever he goes on one of these shows, CNN, MSNBC, wherever, and he talks about the ADL discussing things with Google or with Twitter X or Facebook, negotiating and trying to curate what's acceptable, material, what's hate, what should be allowed. No one ever says, well, who is the ADL? Who are you to decide what's acceptable? What authority? Who elected you? No one ever asked that question. Who are you to decide? Mean, might people have a problem with what you think about certain what your organization stands for, what it supports? Your
Well, I mean,
war on free speech is anti-American. Is the ADL anti-American? Is it anti-Semitic to call the ADL anti-American because it opposes the First Amendment? When the First Amendment pretty much is all of it defines what America is for all its faults. So without the First Amendment, it really is nothing. It's just a imperial, imperial structure,
the kind of individual who, answers the question as to like what is the ADL's moral position is Leo Frank. I mean, he
Yes.
started all of this, and he's perfect. I mean, he's a sexual degenerate, murderer, racist, right? Who then uses money and propaganda to keep him to try to protect himself, right? So that's the ADL. It nearly has never changed. I mean, Leo Frank is the ADL. That's just what it
Yeah,
is.
the origins of the ADL is a Jewish guy trying to railroad a black guy for his crime. That's the black Jewish. By the way,
after raping and murdering a 13-year-old European.
the white Christian girl. So that's
Yeah.
pretty much, hey, that's kind of a composite of what America
I would say
is.
that's what I'm saying. It's just a perfect
It's
introduction.
a
That's
Jewish
exactly what it
guy
is.
trying to railroad a black guy for his raping of a Christian girl. I mean, it's a
Yeah.
Jewish guy trying to railroad the black guy for his crime of raping a Christian white girl. That's
And then
America.
take that forward to like Ryan Carson, and you've kind of the elements, the sociologic and kind of psychological things that are still in motion, right? They were in operation on that street at 4 o'clock in the morning in
Yeah.
Brooklyn. Yeah.
That was like that incident with Mark Halk. He was the pro-life advocate who was arrested. The Merrick
Yeah.
Garland sent 20 FBI agents to arrest him.
Right, I
In
know,
the
yeah.
Dawn raid, for apparently he had insulted a Jewish actress outside of an abortion clinic the year before, something that the local prosecutor wouldn't even press charges, and apparently he had interceded with this guy was yelling obscenities at his son. Both him and his son were doing sidewalk counseling, and so basically he was arrested for trying to prevent a Jewish guy from yelling obscenities to his children, which I thought that is pretty much what America is today. If you try to
Yeah,
prevent
that's right. So they've
it's like,
got on top of us with the media. They've psychologically, succeeded with people like Ryan Carson and just basically gutting their humanity and turning them into robots that operate against their self-interest. But I think things are steadily getting better, in my opinion. I just see more and more, at least judging by my emails and whatnot, that there's just a lot of people who've had it and are willing now to actually, when the propaganda is delivered, to stand up against it. point out the fact that it's all just lies, and it's all lies for a murderous purpose, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, okay, Joe.
Tim, thank you so much for the discussion. I will see you next week. A hasta la vista, baby.
Enjoy the, is Mexico a second world nation?
This is a first world nation after leaving LAX.
Well, I was thinking, you've taken a step up.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
Leaving California.
You don't even want to hear like the experiences trying to get through Los Angeles to get a plane. It's very rough at this point. So, yeah, the first world status of the U.S. is in steep decline. Well,
okay, take care.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.